Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm so glad you've joined us this morning at the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska, along with our pastor, Buck Martin. We certainly welcome you. We are still in 2 Samuel in the 22nd chapter, and today we're going to be looking closely at verses 38 and 43. Again, we're going to be in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, verses 38 through 43. And I'm going to read the question first that goes along with the verses we're looking at today, and then I'll read the verses. Our question for today says, verses 38 through 43, we have to fight our battles to the very end. What do you see in these verses that helps us to keep our focus while in battle? So we'll read in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, we'll read verses 38 through 43. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them, and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. As we have studied David here, we have seen so many battles that King David fought. He was a warrior king. He had led so many victories over the enemies of that nation of Israelite, the Philistines, the Gezerites, the Amalekites, and all of those other nations whose names are a little too difficult to pronounce. These verses here speak of the battles with the enemies of the nation of Israel. The prior verses spoke of how God taught David how to war. God equipped him with what he needed for those battles. God not only equipped David with physical strength, but also with a mental intelligence to defeat the enemy. He was a wise warrior king. When he consulted God for guidance, he was victorious. Starting in verse 38, David says, I pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I consumed them. Verse 39, and I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. David stayed focused on the battle before him. Even when I'm sure there were times when he felt exhausted, he stayed the course that God had set before him. In verse 40, David gives God the glory for the victories. Thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Again, David fully understands his strength comes from God. He girded me with strength to battle. In verse 41, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. I find that a very interesting verse. They looked as unto the Lord, but he answered them not. There was none to save them. The nations whom David went to battle against saw the power of God in David and his armies. And remember that so many of those nations, if not all of them, would have been idol-worshiping nations. Their pagan gods could certainly not give them the victories that our God gave David, and the enemy would have seen that. In verse 43, then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street and did spread them abroad. David's victories were complete and final when it came to his enemies. They became as dust of the earth and spread abroad, a people that was defeated and spread abroad with no power left. King David kept his focus during those battles that he fought in his lifetime. He didn't give up until the battle was over. These verses so clearly speak of the physical battles or wars that King David and his army fought. In our times today, it seems almost brutal. But remember the times when David wrote these Psalms. It was such a different time. Yet the thoughts behind these words still ring true for us today in our spiritual battles. It is God who gives us the ability to fight our own battles today. We too must look to God for guidance on how to fight our battles. Once we receive that guidance, He equips us with what we need to fight the battle. Like King David, we must follow God's instructions, not our own, no matter how difficult or how long the battle goes on. So, in answering our question, what helps keep our focus in our own battles today? The very points we learn behind these words of David is what helps us to keep our focus today. Number one, like King David, consult God. Pray for understanding of the battle and guidance on how to fight the battle. Each battle we face is different, and each battle gives us an opportunity to learn and to grow. Number two, we learn from these verses, stay the course until the battle is over. Keep our focus on God. When fatigue or doubt sets in before the victory, go to our source of strength, God. The third lesson we learn in these verses is live this word. Let all mankind see God in our life. As we live in this world today, so many challenges, especially right now as we deal with this virus that has totally changed so many parts of our lives. Even when the quarantines are lifted, things will not go back to the way they were. What exactly all those changes will be, we don't really know yet. We know that when these quarantines are lifted, there will probably still be restrictions in place. By lifting these quarantines, more people coming in contact with each other will probably see a spike in this virus because more people are in contact with each other. Social distancing may become a normal part of our life, elbow bumps instead of handshakes. The government may still limit the size of events where normally there would be a lot of people. And there certainly is concern for the long-term financial problems on people and businesses that this virus has caused. Everyday life had already had a fair amount of stress prior to this virus. So the changes that we are now seeing and the more changes to come add more stress to what is already a stressful life. Each one of us will begin to fight new battles along with the ones we've already been fighting in our lives as we move forward. But we can learn from King David, consult God, take time to pray. We often describe prayer as talking to God. And that is exactly what prayer is. It's talking to God. But when we stop and think about prayer, it really is so much more than just talking to God. When I looked up a biblical definition of prayer, I found that prayer is an act of worship that glorifies God. It's an act of worship that glorifies God and reinforces our need of Him. That's what prayer is. Reinforces our need for Him. Again, that definition of prayer, an act of worship that glorifies God and reinforces our need for Him. He is the source and the purpose of our existence. He is the source and the purpose of our existence. Prayer is foundational in our walk with God. It must be a part of our life. If He truly is the source and purpose of our existence, prayer is the way in which we communicate with Him. Prayer is where we have an opportunity to not only talk to God, but more importantly, listen to God. Prayer is the first thing we learn from these scriptures in 2 Samuel 22. I'd like to go into the New Testament, into the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. Again, we're going to go into the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, and reading the 6th verse. Just one verse today. In Matthew the 6th chapter, and reading just verse 6. And these are words of Jesus speaking to us. Matthew 6, 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This word closet just refers to a private spot, a place where you can be that is uninterrupted by anyone or anything. It is that time that is set aside for just you and God. The Father will reward thee openly. He rewards us openly in that others see God in us. This isn't a reward as if we're going to receive great wealth or attention from others. Our reward for spending time with our God in prayer is who we become by being in the presence of our God, more like Him and less like us. Jesus Himself always took time to pray and left us with several examples of that time of prayer. We're going to go into the Gospel of Mark, the 1st chapter, and we'll be reading verses 34 through 35. Again, Mark, the 1st chapter, verses 34 and 35. Gospel of Mark, 1st chapter, verses 34 and 35. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Rising up a great while before the day, he went out to a solitary place to pray. Rising up a great while, even after an extremely busy day, he had to have been very tired. Yet he knew he could not do what God needed him to do without the power of God inside of him. And that power comes through prayer. Look at verse 33 here in Mark for just a minute. Verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. He healed many, cast out devils. We understand that Jesus did those things by the power of God inside of him. Remember what I said on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus received a flesh and blood body from his mother. His father was God. A flesh and blood body can only hold so much of that Spirit of God at any one time. And Jesus, like us, must always go to the source of the power to be refilled. And that source is God. Let's read a couple more scriptures in Mark. Go over to Mark, the 6th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 44 through 46. Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 44 through 46. In Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 44 through 46, these verses are coming at a time just after the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Again, we're in Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 44 through 46. And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before, unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He straightway constrained them. He immediately compelled his disciples to get into the ship and sail to the other side. And he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He knew he needed that time of prayer with his Father, the source of his power, the reason and purpose of his existence. His place of prayer that day was in a mountain, somewhere amongst the rocks, not at a carpeted altar, not a soft place to kneel, but amongst the rocks. And hopefully he found a soft grassy patch somewhere that was more comfortable. But it was his time to gather strength, wisdom, knowledge, mercy, grace, whatever he had need of. And he could only find it in that place of prayer with his Father, that uninterrupted place of prayer. I want to stay also in the Gospels, and let's go over to the Gospel of Luke, and I want to read in the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 16. To be in the Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 15 through 16. Luke, 5th chapter, and down to verses 15 through 16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. This type of prayer that I'm talking about today is foundational in our walk with God. We cannot grow without prayer. The time of prayer, where it is just you and your Father. Prayer is so individual. When I study for a Sunday school lesson or a service, it's almost like a time of prayer for me. It's my time in God's Word, and it's such a time of learning for me. I think of others who have musical abilities, the time they spend practicing or learning music for God. It is any time in your day where your whole focus is on God and His Word. Nothing can replace that time of prayer with just yourself and God. It is so necessary. For us as a body of believers, prior to the quarantines, we would have had prayer after every service on Wednesday night and our Sunday services or on a Friday night. We would have all been in the same place, but as individuals talking to our God. And there was something wonderful about that, being in a place where God meets us all in prayer. We don't have that privilege right now because of the quarantines, but we can have that type of prayer in a way. If after each service, especially our Sunday afternoon and our Wednesday evening service, you get down where you are and pray. I know that there is a convenience to be able to watch a service at any time it's convenient, but there really is something special about watching at the same time and praying at the same time that makes us feel like a family. That is really important at a time like this, to keep our family bonds strong. When Mike and I pray after the services, I really like knowing and picturing some of you in your homes praying. We feel connected to you. As we endure this quarantine, we will learn many things about ourselves and each other. But one thing we know, beyond a doubt, if we desire to grow spiritually during this time, prayer is foundational. The one thing we gain in prayer is a battle plan and a way in which to move forward, Just as King David consulted God for a battle plan, we too must do the same. In these verses we're looking at today, King David had to seek a military battle plan. Yet we know he also had to seek God for how to deal with family issues, political issues. He had to seek God on how to be a godly leader to God's people. Each battle he fought, he sought God's guidance on. David learned from that. And it would be through prayer that David would be able to stay the course until the battle was over. Stay the course until the battle is over. In these verses, David speaks of those natural battles he fought against natural enemies. But we know that he also fought many other battles in his everyday life. His own battle with his own nature, the battles within his own family, his battle learning to truly be a godly leader over God's people, his battle in striving to live daily as a man of God. It is in the everyday battles, and also the battles that we don't see an end to, or we see an end and it's a long ways off. Those are the most difficult to endure. They test our very foundation, our faith and our love for God. But understand that God does see an end. And he sees and he knows the reason and the purpose. That reason and purpose for our lives as individuals and for all of mankind. Let's go to the Old Testament again in the book of Psalms, the 46th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. Old Testament today, the book of Psalms, Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. A very present help in time of trouble. We feel that very present help when we pray. Though the waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake, our world feels a little like that now, doesn't it? Things have been turned upside down, and there are so many challenges without quick or easy answers. And so many people are hurt and affected by this virus worldwide. But he will always be a very present help for his people, those that go to him and seek him in prayer for that help. Staying in the Old Testament, I want to look in the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 3 through 4. Staying in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 3 through 4. This is the second thing we learn from these verses in 2 Samuel 22, to keep our focus on God. Again, we're in the Old Testament of Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thou, or God, will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep our focus on God because we trust him. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. His strength never runs out. But we do run out of strength, and we do run out of peace. We then must go to the source of everlasting strength. As we seek Him for strength, we gain peace just by the very fact that we are in contact with God. He is peace. That's how we endure. Keep our focus on a trustworthy God, and He will keep us strong in perfect peace while He fights the battle. I want to stay in the Old Testament and look at the book of Hosea. And in Hosea, the 12th chapter, verse 6. That Old Testament book of Hosea, which follows the book of Daniel, and helping you find that this morning. Hosea in the Old Testament, and chapter 12. And we're just going to read one verse, verse number 6. Hosea, 12th chapter, and verse 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Keep mercy and judgment, or justice, and wait on thy God continually. This wait here means to bind together with God. Keep our focus on God. It's really the only way we can endure those battles, especially the ones that take a long time, or those battles that we don't see an end to, the battles that cause us fear and anxiety. We must bind ourselves to God, keep our focus on God, that we know we have His strength and His power even when we don't feel it. It's when we are fatigued or worn out from the battle that we must bind ourselves to God, bind ourselves to Him, and draw from His strength and His peace. It's really the only way to fight our battles. Pray first in order to gain understanding of how to fight and how to move forward. It is in this type of prayer that I seek from God, what can I do? How do I handle this situation? I only have power and control over my own actions and my own behaviors. I cannot change anyone else, but I can, through the power of God, change me. Keep our focus on God and His instructions for us. The battle belongs to Him. We're responsible for what God holds us accountable for in those battles. The third item we learn from King David's word is, live this word. Show all mankind God in our lives. If we follow these steps of prayer and keeping God as our focus, we will show God to all mankind. We will live a godly life before all people. Our godly life is shown by our conduct and our behavior, the way we interact and deal with people, all people. I want to go back into the New Testament, into the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Back into the New Testament, the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Back into the New Testament, the book of Romans, 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad. These verses tell us we are justified or made righteous by faith, and we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Once we have that Holy Ghost inside, and we are no longer sinners, but justified or made righteous, we are at peace with Him. There is no peace between God and a sinner, but between a Holy Ghost-filled saint and God, there is always peace. Now righteous through the Holy Spirit inside, we have access to His grace. His grace, God's grace. It was by God's grace He first drew us to Himself. In that grace we stand strong in this life with that Holy Spirit inside. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that hope we have of a promise to be with Him eternally. Our hope is not just for the eternal, but we have hope and glory right here in our lives today, even in our tribulations, because we grow through those tribulations. As we patiently go through trials, we learn from the very experience of that trial or tribulation what God would have us learn. Through that, we learn hope, faith, and confidence in God. And that hope makes us not ashamed. There is no shame in having trials or difficulties in our life. Instead, it becomes another opportunity to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost. Even in our battles that we struggle with today, we can and must show forth God's glory to others around us. The light of God inside of us does not grow dim when we face trials or tribulations. It is the very experience of that trial wherein our light grows brighter and stronger because of the grace of God and what we gain. I want to go into the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, verses 4 through 5. The Gospel of John, 9th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 5. Gospel of John, 9th chapter, verses 4 through 5, and these are verses that Jesus has spoke. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He was the light of the world, as He says here. And I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. There is an appointed time for each one of us, and we too must work the works of Him that sent us. Like our example, Jesus, we too must say, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. No matter what is happening in our own individual life, no matter what trials, what tribulations, we must continue to work the works of God and shine His light abroad. Go to the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. We'll begin in verse 13. The Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. We'll start in verse 13. Matthew, the 5th chapter. We'll start first. Actually, I want to read just verse 1 for a second here. Matthew, the 5th chapter, we're going to start in verse 1 and then we'll drop down to verse 13. Verse 1, Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So we see, as we drop down to verse 13 here, Jesus is talking with just his disciples. So let's read verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The purpose of salt is to add flavor. It's to make things better. It's to improve things. Salt is such a basic ingredient with so many uses. But if salt loses the ability to do any of those uses, it becomes as garbage. It's useless. Something to be cast out upon the ground and trodden underfoot. So let's go now to verses 14 and through 16. Matthew 5, we're going to read verses 14 through 16. And he tells these disciples, first, you are the salt of the earth. And now he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. After talking about salt, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light inside of us, like salt, the purpose is to make things better, is to improve things, is to show the way how to live better. Our light shines when we do the works of our Father in heaven. That is the purpose of having the light inside of us, to show God's glory through the very way we live. Staying in the New Testament, go to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 13 through 15. New Testament book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 13 through 15. And I'm actually going to start with just verse 13 to start with here. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God who works in us both the will or the desire and the ability to do his good pleasure. What God instructs us and desires us to do, he puts that within us. In verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. In this life today, we can find a lot of things to murmur or complain about, and a lot of things to discuss about how to do it. But the more important thing is to do the work that God sets before each one of us in a timely manner. And the reason for that is, as verse 15 says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. that we may be blameless and harmless and the sons of God without rebuke. The very way in which we walk in God's light, blameless, upright, honest, harmless, not self-centered, but God-centered, without rebuke, no need of correction from God. We strive to walk uprightly, without fault, honestly, thinking of others, showing God in our life. And we do this in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That is very descriptive of our world today. But we also have a world today that is deeply hurting, deeply in need of prayer, deeply in needing to see the light of God in people. Never is it more important than right now that our light shine out so brightly by the very way we live. We have such a confidence and a security in God. We know that He holds our very life in His hands. He is in control. Live our lives showing He is in control. Live a life that draws others to God by the light that shines from inside. I want to begin to finish this today in 1 Peter, the second chapter. And we'll beginning with verse 9. We'll read verses 9 through 11. But in 1 Peter, the second chapter, we'll begin in verse 9. 1 Peter, second chapter, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. We should show forth that marvelous light by walking daily in that marvelous light. We should walk as one who is a member of a chosen generation, who is one who is part of a royal priesthood, part and member of a holy nation. We must walk as a peculiar person, one who is blameless, harmless, without rebuke, showing the glory of God to all. Let's read verses 10 through 11. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. Don't ever forget where we came from. It is by God's grace and mercy we are who we are. We will always have to fight our old nature, and we do that by abstaining from fleshly lusts, our own desires. Instead, as verse 12 teaches us, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We know through our conduct, our conversation, our words, and our actions to be honest among all people. We know that we are to live godly. That in itself makes us peculiar. There may be times that we have evil spoke of us, but our good works our conducts, our word, and our actions, the very way we live our life, will bring glory to God. So finishing up and circling back to the three lessons we learned from these scriptures that David wrote. As we face difficult and troubling times, first and always, pray. Pray for understanding, pray for guidance, pray for a battle plan. Number two, stay on course until the battle is won. Keep our focus on God. When we grow weak or weary, which is normal, pray. Go back to that source of power and back to that understanding, always keeping our focus on God. The third, live a life that brings glory to God. Walk daily in His marvelous light. Show His glory to all mankind. So important. We watched as David has walked godly and people saw God in his life. We too must walk daily in His marvelous light. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Join us again this afternoon at 1 for our Sunday afternoon service. Please continue to pray for one another and pray for this world today. May God bless each and every one of you and hold us close in His loving hands during these very difficult times. Thank you again, and may God bless.